Welcome to episode 2 of Here by Design. I'm Chris, and I'm so excited about today's episode. Before we get into that, thank you so much for listening last week, for all of your support and wonderful words. I'm so grateful for that, and meant a lot as I continue to learn how to podcast and create something new that I've never done before. I'm really excited about today's episode. It is the very first interview, the very first guest on the podcast. Today, it is Timmy Ham, an incredible Arizona-based artist, illustrator, social media consultant, athlete. And with that, I think we should just jump in. Welcome, Timmy. Thank you so much for being here. How's it going?
I'm good, dude. It's just been crazy. I'm doing the whole dad life and then going to San Francisco next week to do like illustration stuff on the iPad with Adobe. And then going to New York after that for the Shorty Awards. And then back home for a little bit. And then I'm actually going to Colorado, dude.
What? When are you coming to Colorado?
I'm going to be there not this weekend. Not this next weekend, but the following weekend.
Oh, okay. Is that the 21st?
I think it would be the 19th through the 21st.
Nice. We'll be in town. Yeah. We'll be in town. Let me know.
With Willie.
Oh,
we're
what?
We're doing something with some, like, it's like a Christian nonprofit that does stuff with national parks.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they asked us to, like, come out there and do a couple social things.
Wow.
And so Willie just set it up and then he called me. I'm like, sure.
That's incredible.
Sounds like fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So dude, maybe we can figure out a way to work that.
Oh yeah. So, that would be awesome. Yeah. I'll be free. So Willie and Timmy and I, we all met, through Epicurrents, sponsored and kind of put on by Dan Petty. We met in Zion National Park for a week, and Timmy was incredible. He set up all of this motocross stuff. Is motocross, what would you say? Just like motorbikes, dirt bikes? I don't even know what the official term is for those things. But he had these dirt bikes set up for people to ride, and there was a few injuries. There was a few people that went a little hard and some crashes, but everybody took it well, and but it was a lot of fun. And so Timmy was super vital in like providing the space for people to explore Zion and really get hurt, to get bloody. I mean, those are good stories, you know, people will remember that.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
Did you have a favorite like motorcycle or motorbike incident at Epicurrents that you kind of still remember or talk about?
I mean, it was all super fun. Two things that were like super, super, super rad was one where the little bikes at night were really fun to race around like the like tent campground.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one that sticks out is just, I'm trying to remember his name. Was it Nick? There is the one guy that just hadn't ridden a motorcycle in like forever, only once or something like that. I don't even think he had ridden a dirt bike, but he just was going balls to the wall. And like, I thought he was going to die and he crashed like every time on his bike. It was like, I felt like a dad and I was just so nervous, but he would crash and it was no big deal. He was like ready to go. He was like bleeding and like, dude, bandage me up. Like, let's do this.
I remember the person you're talking about, and for their sake, we won't call him out and use their real name, but
yeah.
I was super impressed
there you go.
With his persistence because he just kept getting back on the bike. And I feel like if I was to fall the way he did and have to be bandaged up and have the people at this wonderful campsite pull out all of their first aid equipment to try to fix this guy, I would not get back on the bike. And he did. He just kept riding, which was incredible to see. That was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun being able to meet you there and kind of set up a friendship. So we connected a little less than a year ago, and then we saw each other at another Epicurrents, the Winter Work Week that Dan put on and I was a part of back in Yosemite a few months ago. And so, to be honest, Timmy, you were huge in getting me inspired to do this, right? Kind of pushing me over the edge of like, you got to start, you got to do this. This is the thing. So, I thought it'd be fitting for you to be the first guest on the show about creativity, because of that. And so honored, thanks for being a part of this. I kind of want to jump in and just ask you a few rapid fire questions just to kind of get loose a little bit. And then we can continue and start talking a little bit more, about your art and your clothing brand, and get into the why behind the things that you do, which you make it pretty easy because you put out these blog posts that explain a lot of the whys behind it. So that'll be a lot of fun kind of diving deep on that. So first question, would you rather be a pineapple or would you rather be a strawberry?
Pineapple for sure. Because do I have to explain why?
Please. Yeah, do it.
well strawberries are just super tiny and they're like great. They only last for a little while though. Like, I mean, if you're only one, like if you're like, oh, you're like all of strawberries, and I don't know, but if you could only be like one strawberry or one pineapple, I would pick pineapple. Pineapple is just like they look cooler, they're bigger, they like hang in trees, so you like high up,
yeah,
so you like have cool views. I'm guessing like you would have, and it's like tropical, and strawberries are like, aren't they picked? They're picked in trees, but I'm assuming there's a lot of like nasty bugs where they're picked. Like I've picked strawberries in the Midwest before, and there's like just tons of bugs and it's low to the ground and they're dirty. Pineapples just like, I'd be chilling on an island. I'm full of like super tasty juice. Plus like you can eat me or drink me. Like I just, and then on the outside you have like your like hard shell, so you're like protected. So, and you got like the spikes on top.
Dang,
I don't know.
Dang.
I'd be a pineapple for sure.
You took that and you went so deep on what it means to be a pineapple. I hope that the next thing that you draw on your iPad is a pineapple in the style of, yes, of your style that you have. I love that. That's a great answer. So I want to be known as, you know, Here by Design. We ask the hard questions. We go crazy. So are you cool putting pineapple on your pizza? I know it's like a big debate for people. Like some people, you know, some people are like, they're heathens if you put pineapple on a pizza. And some people are, you know, like, this is how you're supposed to eat it.
No, I mean, it's not something that I would order, but if someone orders it, I'll eat it. Like I'm like just a go-to like pepperoni dude most of the time. But like I like crazy pizzas when people order them. I just never think to like, oh, I'm gonna order that crazy pizza. But if someone orders it, I usually like it. Like I'm down to try it.
Yeah, that's great. That's not a bad answer. That's like a pretty middle of the road answer. Like that's a very, like, you're not gonna get any hate after, you know, the five people that are going to listen to this are going to like, they're going to, you know, all know that, oh, okay, yeah, like I could have pizza with Timmy now. I don't have to worry about his weird preferences. I like the Hawaiian pizza. That's not really even Hawaiian, but I love the like the pineapple and ham on pizza. Like I'll jam on that. It's so good.
They put bacon on it too sometimes, I think.
Yeah, Canadian bacon, real bacon. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, bacon's going to make a lot of things better. So that's not a bad idea.
Seriously.
So if you could be one fictional character for a week, who would you be and why?
Ooh, shoot. I don't know. Who would you be first?
I mean, the answer for me is always going to be Bruce Wayne, Batman. Like
Bruce Wayne? Yeah. That's actually a pretty good one. That was my nickname in college, Batman. I don't know.
Whoa, why was that your nickname in college? Let's time out and go talk about that for a sec.
I don't really know why they started. When I was playing football in college, and I just think the other race, I was like one of the few white guys, and I'm not trying to be like get racy or anything, but they gave me a nickname and they just called me Batman. And I think it was because I always wore, like, I would always get in trouble because my mom sent me in the mail these like long Batman socks, and we were sponsored. And they were like really long black, and then right on the shin it had like the giant Batman logo. And we were sponsored by Adidas, and so we were only allowed to wear Adidas at practice because media would be out there. And so if you're not wearing like your sponsored gear, they could get in trouble or whatever the case is. And I would always come to practice with Batman socks on, and like almost every day, like, I'd get in trouble, but I would just keep wearing them just because it was kind of like my thing. And you'd see like pictures show up in the newspaper and like, here's everybody with their white Adidas socks. And then that guy's got black Batman socks.
Oh, I love that.
They just started calling me Batman.
That's,
I guess I'm guessing it's because of my socks.
I love that. That's awesome. That's a killer story. So you,
but
go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, but if I could pick one, Bruce Wayne would be good. Shoot, I don't know. Maybe Harry Potter.
Ooh, Harry Potter would be fun. Would like Harry Potter at the end of the seven books, or like kind of in the middle? Like, where would you be in Harry Potter's journey?
I would go to number four, the Triwizard Tournament.
Oh, dang. I mean, you're pretty competitive, right? So that would be something you'd love.
Yeah. Go right into the action, slaying dragons. Like, that would be sick.
That, man, that's awesome. I love this. I think you should start doing a series where you you just start drawing all this stuff out.
Me as Harry Potter.
You as Harry Potter. Honestly, I would buy that shirt. I would buy that decal in a heartbeat. So for those of you that don't know Timmy has a lifestyle clothing brand. He's an illustrator, a designer, creative. He's very, he's got like this wide and deep knowledge on social media. Online, he goes by I Am Sloth. So like, where did the sloth thing come from for you?
It came from a couple different areas. One, I loved the movie Goonies growing up. So, sloth from the Goonies, and then also, but what originally like sparked it, and then Goonies came second, was when I got done playing football, I moved back home, and I was just like living at my parents' house, kind of just moping around trying to figure out what I was going to do. But like, I started to dabble in art and like street art, and I was like trying to come up with a name. And one thing I was noticing, it was just annoying to me because everyone that I was around, like all my close friends, my dad, like my mom, everyone was always too busy. And since I wasn't as busy anymore, I just would always say like, people just need to like slow down a little bit, not like a lazy slow down, just kind of like take a second and realize what's around you in your moment and soak it in, enjoy it, and then get back to your hard work kind of thing. So, I was like, oh, sloth, like people just need to just sloth it. Hmm. And so not in a lazy sense, but I assumed like sloths, like they're so slow that they take in a lot around them.
Oh.
In their environment. And so that's kind of how I came up with it. And I really liked writing the letter S and like graffiti type S, and grew up drawing Stussy S, that like Stussy S. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Goonies. So it was all kind of like a handful of things, I guess. But the main reason why is people just need to slow down every now and then.
No, I love that. It's a powerful name, powerful idea behind it. And that's true. People do need to kind of soak it in. I've never thought about the animal, the sloth, actually being very observant creature, just because how long it takes them to do anything. They would see so much. That's a great connection.
Yeah.
So you have a very specific style, a very kind of specific flavor and color palette and, you know, drawing style. So what, can you tell me a little bit about how you developed that, and have you experimented with other styles over the years? What, you know, where are you at right now with that style?
I like using, you know, the brighter kind of colors just because they make me happy, and I kind of like doing things that aren't necessarily like traditional, you know, like if I redo like a character, like I add like a crazy yellow or something to it just because I want it to like kind of not make sense or stick out. And it's always fun trying to make those colors blend. Style wise, I've always been super influenced by like pop culture and pop art and street art in like, I would say like the Japan style, like Tokyo, like that whole, like not necessarily anime, but that whole lifestyle has always like really intrigued me. So, I've always liked that kind of art where, you know, if you do watch like an anime cartoon or like Pokemon, those kind of styles, or even like The Simpsons, where it's simple colors and then just outlined. It's not a lot of detail. It's kind of like the direction I've been trying to go with my art, and in like simplifying the colors and lines and stuff, but still keep it kind of busy, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So you,
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean that, you know, hopefully anybody that hears this will go and check out iamsloth.com and see your, you know, check you out on Instagram and kind of see the incredible color palettes and the style that you use. One of the things that really intrigues me about your art is the focus on Arizona and the desert. And it's something that seems to be a pretty like vital and foundational theme for you, that, you know, even if you're, you know, you drew the Grinch not too long ago and he was surrounded by cacti, like he had the, you know, all these thorns and stuff, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of a prickly character. So I appreciated that kind of thematic inclusion between the two. But so obviously you're from Arizona, right? And you love the desert, and that influences a lot of your stuff. So when you were growing up, when did you start drawing? When did you start being inspired by the desert and incorporating that into your art?
Well, I mean, I always drew and, you know, did art growing up. My mom was an artist, like super good artist. And my dad, before he went into like a more corporate workforce, was a photographer, and he did like weddings and kind of that whole nine yards. And so I both had like really creative parents, but, you know, I always did art growing up, but I wasn't, I never did art classes or anything like that. I was put into sports, and I did a lot of racing dirt bikes and then playing football. And so I really didn't like dabble super like hard into the creative space until after college. And, when I moved back to Arizona, it was just kind of this thing that a lot of my creative friends that were in art schools, that, you know, everyone wanted to move to San Francisco or New York or Seattle, all these like way cool creative places. And I just really, I like love Arizona, and I just really wanted to, I was inspired to do my part here and try to give, as cool as those other places are, you know, all this cool stuff comes out of like California and New York. And I was like, man, if I could just be a little drop in the ocean for Arizona to like represent someone cool here that is proud to be from Arizona and kind of give similar vibes, but different as like a New York and a LA, but has that kind of lifestyle, then like, that's a huge win for me, because it gives a lot of kids here want what's in New York and LA and San Fran, but, you know, we don't really have the scene. So it's kind of been my mission to like try to like show that lifestyle and culture through everything that I'm doing in Arizona. And then just incorporating, you know, I incorporate like cactuses in almost everything. I think cactuses are like super cool because the meaning behind like the cactus, it's like they can like, they thrive in like the toughest conditions, but they soak up like all the moisture. So like they have lots of life in them, and they like welcome life, you know, birds live inside, but then like they're sharp, so like predators can't hurt them, and they live forever. So like I've always thought cactuses are like super iconic. And it's just like really fun to add into the art. And so yeah, it's been over a process over like the last like 8 years of like slowly like transforming everything into sort of like a Arizona Southwest vibe, but still kind of try to keep a street art feel to it.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. I think whether it's the flowers, kind of the like prickly pear flowers or cacti flowers you incorporate, or the little subtle details of how you include desert elements into your art, it definitely feels like a very unified theme for you and something that you really focus on. And I love that. I've got Katie and I, my wife and I are going to be in Arizona at the end of the month, and we've got some really good friends there. Yes. And my grandma used to live North Valley, in Phoenix for a little over 20 years. And, so we actually maybe longer than that. But there's definitely a connection to Arizona. I went to school at NAU. So it's really kind of an underrepresented state. I feel like Phoenix gets a little bit of a bad rap. It's sprawling and it can be a little intimidating and overwhelming, but there are these pockets in Phoenix that are so cool and just offer so much. And then you're so close to incredible scenery, whether it's High Plains Desert, Sedona, Flagstaff, Grand Canyon. Like it's awesome.
Yep.
So
it really is. Yeah. It's not just a desert, you know, like, I mean, you went to school in Northern Arizona, like, you know, like it's drastically different than Phoenix. And you know, that's only 2 hours from Phoenix. So it's all relatively close. And, so I like it. Like there's a lot of,
That's awesome. And you're absolutely right. Definitely a lot of hidden beauty. So one of the things that has come out in talking to you and, you know, the conversations we've had is that, you're really kind of in tune and aware emotionally, and you're able to express that. And recently you wrote a blog post, on your website about called Mask Off. And it was this really personal, authentic look at kind of your journey, which, you know, was really amazing to read. And it gives, I think, everybody some insight into your process and who you are and kind of why. But I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, that you're this athlete living kind of this tension between being this artist and being this hyper-competitive athlete, at this high level, being at full ride scholarship. And how did you resolve some of that tension? How did you get into, like, well, I'm really an artist. I love creating, but I'm also, as you put it, this jock football player turned artist designer. And you felt like that was an awkward thing. Like how did that transition happen? And, you know, how did you deal with that tension when you were a football player?
Yeah, it's always been, I've always dealt with that my whole life because I've always, like, for example, I grew up, you know, racing dirt bikes and skateboarding. A lot of my friends were like skaters. But then here I was this like really good football player. And it was always just this, I always kind of wanted to be like on the other side because it's really hard to explain. So I'd always dealt with that, but like part of me always secretly liked being kind of like an anomaly. Like, he's a football player. Oh yeah. But he can skate a half pipe. Like, and it doesn't look funny. So like, it's always been like, part of me has always had fun kind of, not have fun, but like, I'm really competitive. So a lot of times when people, I like to do things that people don't expect because it challenges me and they usually don't think it's possible at the beginning. And then like, it pushes me to go a little bit harder, but, I kind of lost my train of thought when, when football ended, you know, I could have kept playing football. You know, I kept getting injured. But you know, the doctors kept saying, oh, well, you know, you can have, I was on my fourth surgery in the last, like in like 2 years, I had just coming off of like broken collarbone and torn shoulders and broken wrists and all this stuff. And I was always getting like pulled both directions because I really liked creative stuff, but I was playing college football and I had told myself that fall camp, I was like, okay, if I get hurt again, I'm gonna just be done with football. And so I got hurt again and then I just hung up the hat. I moved, like it was like a week later, I just peaced out and went home. And it was definitely really weird because I started dabbling in like the creative scene and I didn't know even where to start. And, you know, a lot of the people back home, you know, coming back home and everyone being kind of that hometown kid of superstar athlete and, you know, the top of his game for his year and all this stuff. Like, and now he's like working at a restaurant and painting shoes and like, what has happened to this kid? Like, so it was a lot of like, I call them my dark times, even though they were probably the best times for me. It felt like kind of like the dark ages for me because I was really lost, but like, I felt like I knew what I wanted to do. And I struggled honestly, probably all the way up until like a year or so ago. Like I've always struggled with like, should I go back and try to compete in some sort of like athletic journey and try to do art, because like I feel like I have these God-given talents genetically, but then, and I'm not using them, but like I I like to be creative, and everyone looks at me as like an athlete, not as a creator. So it's just like this constant struggle of accepting like that chapter is kind of done and I should go with like really what's in my gut. Mm. And so with the whole mask off thing, it was kind of like, I kind of came out with that because I kind of finally feel like 100% comfortable with where I'm at and what I'm doing. And I don't really, I still miss being an athlete, but when I daydream about it, it gets killed pretty quick because I love what I'm doing now. And so the mask off was kind of like taking that mask off of who I was and who I'm actually am now.
That's powerful. Was there a big emotional release when you kind of, or was it a slow transition? Like gradually like, oh, this is where I'm at. The mask is off. Or was it this kind of aha moment for you? Like, wow, like that weight is gone and I'm going to just totally own being a creator. How did that identity shift happen?
I think it's been gradual, but I think in the last 2 years, I've just been fortunate with a lot of opportunities, and those opportunities I think have helped like smack me in the face and go, no, like you actually are good at what you do. And this is who you are now, because before it was like, I was growing as a creator and I had a couple cool breaks, but it was like, I could go back to being an athlete and be better, if that makes sense. So it was always kind of like, did I brainwash myself? Am I even that good of a creator? Because I could go, so it was just like not what I wasn't realizing is that like I had played football since I was 5 until I was 22. And I had been a creator since I was like all in kind of thing from like 22 to 23. To 30. So like I wouldn't even say I was like full time and like all in up until like the last like 5-6 years. So like just being realistic with myself and saying like, no, I have to give myself time with this. And like the only reason why I was so good at the other is because I was doing it for so long and I haven't even given it a shot. And so these last 2 years kind of like, I think it was a gradual thing.
No, that's powerful. And you touched on something that I think a lot of us in any field struggle with, of this like, man, I'm better at this, but I would rather be doing that, right? So I'm better at, yeah. I feel like I'm a better athlete than I am a creator. So maybe I should just go back to that, because implicitly, you know, subconsciously there's like, it's easier, right? I know that world. I know 100%. What it takes to succeed in that world, and I'm competitive. And so therefore I should be there, but I don't know what it takes to necessarily be creator full time and developing that. And I don't actually know what success looks like. I mean, maybe I'm not just projecting on you. I think that's a struggle that I've had, you know. You start asking these questions like, what is, as a competitive person, what does success look like? Where am I going with this? What is happening? You know, the next steps. And once I reach that next step, what's the step after that? And that's not always this idea of like, we're not content. It's just, if we're competitive, then we're driven by results, and the targets always move, right? You know, you always want to get better. And so how does being competitive, does that, I should ask this question, does it actually drive any sort of your creative process, right? Does being,
it's kind of,
go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think my competitiveness in the creative field has like, it's not the same as it was anymore. Like for football, and you know, when I played sports, it was like I could be super competitive, and I got like all these, you know, I had to beat the team, or I just had to be faster than the other guy. And in the creative world, especially that because I work for myself, so like I can only compete with myself, so it's just a totally different mindset, and I'm still getting used to it, you know. I think it's been kind of hard, and I don't like to think I'm not really competitive with other artists, because I think if I'm trying to be competitive against other artists, then I'm comparing myself to other artists as like I'm like them. And I don't want to compare myself to other people's work, because hopefully we're different artists, and like we can't really compare each other because we're different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so competing against someone is just in my field, I feel like is more of a destructive thing than it would be a lucrative thing, you know?
Absolutely. Switching gears, I want to go back to why do you create, which is such a broad and ambiguous topic for a lot of people. Sometimes, like you had mentioned, it's just in our gut, right? We follow it. We don't know. We couldn't articulate it particularly, but it's not like you just picked up the iPad Pro and the pencil and started drawing characters and Arizona themed artwork. I mean, it could potentially be it, but I would imagine you had this journey where you were doing stuff as a kid, you were doing stuff as a teen, and just kind of kept working that in until finally you felt like I should do this. You even had another blog post and shirt come out not too long ago about being a full-time creative, you know, full-time creator.
Yeah.
So what was the earliest memory you have of creating something that you were proud of, and what did you create?
I think my creativity spawned from like business. As weird as that sounds, is like, I always did the whole, like, back in the day, the lemonade stands and like selling my baseball cards, and I would buy candy from, like, my grandma had an ice cream truck, and so she would take us to the candy store where you get everything for wholesale. So I'd get a bunch of candy and then I'd sell it to all my friends at school, and to me that was like creative, because I was creatively like having this, like having money. But the creative side of it, like, you know, where I started adding in art and creativity and really falling in love with that, was I probably didn't catch that or like get that bug until after sports. I think one of the driving factors for that was I was done playing sports, and I just wanted to create the life that like I wanted. And I was doing art and drawing and all that. But everybody around me, it felt like everybody around me was telling me who I should be. And I'm like, but I can create who I want to be. You know, my dad, and bless his heart, he had the best intentions for me, but he wanted me to, you know, go to law school and do all these other things because the creative industry doesn't pay well. But like, I got a lot of motivation to create my own life. And I think it just so happened that I was really into art and creating and business, that's kind of how it like spawned out. But I think the driving force for like why I wanted to create has always been kind of this like I want to be able to show other people that they can create the life that they want, and they don't have to live a creation of someone else's life. And when I had kids, people were like, oh, you're gonna have to go get like a full-time job, you can't be an artist, have kids. When I got married, they said the same thing, and it was just like this constant thing of like, oh, well, now you're gonna have to be like everybody else. And I've always just like never wanted that. And so it always inspires me to keep being a creator and just like create this life of mine myself. Well, with the help of others too, obviously.
I mean, that's powerful. That's awesome. I mean, there's so many different reasons why we do stuff, and that the otherness you have included in there is killer. So you use a lot of different mediums, right? And it seems like you've kind of gravitated towards, like, you love using spray paint and kind of having that street art graffiti style. And then the iPad Pro has become this, at least it seems like, and maybe correct me wrong, like just really accessible way for you to create and iterate on ideas pretty quickly. Do you have a favorite one? Would you, like, if you could spend all day using one of the mediums, which one would it be?
Shoot, that's tough. Probably spray paint. Probably like something with my hands, like an actual like real life mural. It's super fun to me to create something that's actual, like you can like hold it and it's in like in real life. And I like that, like with spray paint, it doesn't allow for a lot of mistakes, you know, like once you spray it on there, I mean, you can spray over it, but, it's kind of like, feels like a one-time thing. So it's really special. And I love the iPad and using that and the Wacom tablets and all that and doing art on the computer, but it's super easy just to, you know, undo, command Z it, and you're good, and then just redo it. So I think like painting murals and canvases with spray paint is probably my favorite medium.
That's awesome. I've never used spray paint before, so I'm really curious how that would, I feel like I would just make a mess everywhere.
I also like that like spray paint dries really fast, and so it's really fun to be able to like whip things out fast, where I'm kind of an impatient artist. And so I like to, like, once I start the painting, like, I want to be able to finish it that day. Like, I hate having to, like, sit on projects.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason why I like spray paint.
That's a good point. If you had to use oils and you wanted to not use the wet-on-wet Bob Ross style, you would be pulling your hair out for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So when you were talking about, you know, having others create the life, you know, they wanted, and that kind of drives you and you want to inspire that. There's this idea, and I'm sure you've come across it, where people will mention that they're not creative. So if you tell them you're a designer or an artist and this is stuff you do, I'm sure the response you've gotten from a few people is, man, I could never do that, right? I'm not creative. I can't, you know? And so what is your response to that?
All the time.
When somebody says, yeah, exactly, all the time, right? It blows my mind. So what do you say to those people who don't think that they are inherently creative?
Yeah. I'll tell them like, oh, you are creative, you know, like, I try to like listen and well, what do they do and what do they love? And like, it always is creative. Everyone is creative. I mean, depending on what you believe, you know, I mean, this world is a crazy creation from somewhere, and we're all born, you know, we're all creators. I mean, like everything, every job, every business, like you're creating something, you're creating work, you're creating a business, or you're creating art like us, or you're creating a clean street for somebody, you know, picking up trash as a trash guy. Like everyone's creative. I think society has just put creativity into a like bubble of like, oh, this is what it looks like to be creative. So I usually just, you know, it's usually a pretty short-lived conversation.
Right.
Yeah, you are creative. And then like, oh, well, what do you do? I'm like, oh, that is creative. And it, you know, they kind of already made up the decision. They've been told them their whole life that like what they do isn't creative because they're not an artist. So it's kind of a lose-lose conversation. It's really hard to like persuade someone that they are creative.
Yeah. I feel like. Oh, that's a fascinating point too, right? That people say that, but not necessarily being open to changing their mind about themselves, right? You're right. Like society or, you know, their parents or whoever. I mean, you mentioned your dad, and I'm sure there's plenty of others, like, you know, family people or friends who are just like, man, I don't get what you're doing. I feel like you should do something else. Like, why don't you just get a traditional job, you know? And that just all reinforces that I'm not creative in whatever way they want to define it. So you're right. It's a lose-lose conversation, but it's one that we seemingly have over and over and over.
100%. And being creative, I think it makes when you tap into your creativity in whatever field or whatever you want to do in life, I feel like it's a really vulnerable state. So like when you be creative and about yourself and you become more self-aware, I think that's when you want to start being more creative about your life, whether it's like, oh, I've been doing this typical 9-to-5 and I kind of want to be more creative on the weekend and be spontaneous and go on trips. But then like, you're like, well, wait, can I do that? And like, what does that mean? Like, what do I have to do? And so a lot of times it's like being creative puts you in like outside your comfort zone for a lot of people. And I think that's why they just resort to like, oh, I'm not creative.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. You mentioned the word vulnerable. It is. It's very vulnerable because when you create, you're sharing it. You know, you don't have to, but a lot of people share it with other people. You know, they want to. That's the idea, is you want to share it, something that you birthed into the world. And if the response is awful, you know, then you're not going to want to do it again, right? There's like this fear that comes in. So for you as a creator, yeah. have you, you know, clearly you've pushed past that to a large degree because you're sharing your work and stuff, but do you still feel the rawness when you share a work that you're really excited about or something different or new?
Like, do I still feel like, oh, this is so cool?
Yeah, that or like the fear that comes in, the fear, like the vulnerability, the rawness, like you still feel those emotions now that you've been a full-time creator for a few years and engaged in this field for, you know, for a while. Do you still have that vulnerability and rawness?
No. And I feel like it doesn't sound lame, but I was kind of always like, I've just been a confident guy. I think sports helped that for me. Like, and so I don't really, I just have never really cared. Like, I'm just like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And I want it so bad. Like, I want to be an artist so bad that I just do it. And I don't even think about what anyone else is going to say, because like, that's what I want to do. And so like, I've always just had a tendency to, it's a blessing and it's a curse, because I'm always like thinking about like, now I gotta do this and now I gotta do this, that like, I don't notice that sense of like, oh, well, what if no one likes it? And like, if they think it's stupid, because I'm already like on to the next thing in my head after I've put it out there.
Yeah.
And it's good, but at the same time, it's not good, because there are a lot of great moments that I've had that I feel like I've missed because I've been too preoccupied on like what's next. And so like, I don't like that. I wish I was a little bit more like raw with that, being vulnerable and kind of like soaking it all that in, and like being a little bit more in tune with, you know, the whole process of like putting something out there. I think it would make it a little bit more special, but I still love like when I do put something out there. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. I'm just always on to the next thing in my head. I think it's just because, you know, having a family and providing for them and like being an entrepreneur, working for myself, it's like, if I'm not, I sink.
Yeah. So there's,
you know,
not space to just let it be and let it rest. You're on to the next thing, 'cause there's this element of survival to it for you as well. Right. You're not. Yeah. That makes sense. No, that makes sense.
At this chapter in my life, like, I obviously think like, I hope, you know, in 10 years from now, I'm in a different chapter and it's the complete opposite, you know, and I can, and you know, my workflow and comfort is a lot higher because, you know, I'm more established. I think when that time comes, it'll be a little bit more enjoyable. I mean, well, I don't know if I would say it's not enjoyable. It would just, and enjoy the process a little bit more and not be so hyped up on like what's next.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. Well, Timmy, I am so grateful for the time you spent digging into some more challenging topics about creating and, you know, kind of the why you create and a little bit about your story going from full-time athlete to full-time creative, somebody that, and 'cause you're not just, I mean, you're doing design, you've got your clothing line, you're doing art, and then you're also doing like social media consulting and stuff like that. Is that right? So you've got your hands in so many different areas of the creative process. So thank you for taking the time to be on this. And it's super encouraging. I hope that, you know, anybody listening was kind of connect to that and connect to your story a little bit. Is there anything you want to share with anybody out there, like projects you're working on that you're super stoked about, or, you know, things that, you know, you just want to put out into the podcast world?
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me on this first episode. This is the first episode, right?
Yeah. This is the second episode. I had like an intro, little baby intro episode last week. But yeah, so this is like the first real one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate our friendship. I'm like pumped for future hangouts with you. I just thank you for making me, you know, thinking I'm valuable to be on here. I'm pumped. And anything I could put out into the world, podcast world, I guess I would just say, usually I would just give a piece of advice, I guess. If there's anything out there that you guys, anyone is trying to do and they think they're called to do it, but it seems hard, then it's probably what they're supposed to do.
Dude, that's a great piece of advice. Yeah, absolutely.
And don't get caught up in, you know, the work and the time it's going to take, because, you know, time's going to pass anyways, and you're going to have to work hard at whatever you do. So, you know, it might as well be something that you at least somewhat enjoy.
Yeah, no, that's a killer way to end that. You got to, time is limited, and you better be doing stuff that you care about and you're passionate about. There's not a point to not doing that. And if it's usually hard and challenging, there's usually something there to lean into, right? Like the resistance 100%. Inside you, like something is telling you that you should lean into it, try it. And usually those are the most rewarding things, for sure. And that was a piece of advice that you gave me in the RV while it was snowing in Yosemite. So Timmy and this other friend of ours, Willie, and this friend of Timmy's, Grayson, all rented an RV and drove from Phoenix all the way up to Yosemite and all these different stops along the way and back down, and kind of documented their adventure and all these little vlogs. It was super cool. And they decided to host this open office hours during one of the days of Epicurrence, where they just had coffee and popcorn and things that they would make in their RV, which was super hilarious. But we got in, and that was a piece of advice that Timmy had said as I was hanging out with them that was super inspiring. So thanks for that. I'm stoked. Also, go ahead.
Oh no, I would just say one other little piece of that and then I'll stop talking.
No, you're good. You can talk as much as you want. You can keep going.
I think one thing, like, along with that is, like, when you are pursuing something that you feel like is in you that you want to do, it's so easy with social media and looking at what other people are doing and the cool pictures that they post and the dream life that they're doing, the dream career that they have. But like 99% of it is hard work and it's not always fun. And it's really easy to get caught up in, like, well, it's my passion, it's my dream, I'm supposed to wake up super happy every single day and want to like do this 24/7. And that's not the case at all. It's like a huge misconception when you like start pursuing something you like love, is you're not going to be like, you're happy that you're doing what you love, but it's not, a lot of times you're going to be doing things that you don't really want to do, but you have to do it to get to where you want to be. And, you know, there's a lot of that. And so you just got to stick to your core and don't get discouraged and think that like, oh, well, I'm not happy, because you have to play the long-term game, not the short-term game. And happiness is sometimes like short-lived. It's not necessarily a long-term thing, if that makes sense.
Dang, keep preaching, man. You can keep going. That is great. That is awesome. For anybody that's out there that it's new to the creative field, whether it's design or engineering or accounting, whatever you're doing that's creative, like that work that you're doing is very, like the words Timmy just had are going to be inspiring for everybody, hopefully. You're right, it's hard work. And if you think it's going to be easy, you're missing the point. And the people that post on Instagram and these like curated lives they have online, they're, right? They're kind of missing, A, those people are missing the point about what they're doing, about being authentic and how hard it is. And B, the people that are receiving that are receiving this falsity that life is not that easy. And it's not bad that it's not easy. Like, challenge is good, right? Muscles grow when you put resistance to them. Otherwise, we just kind of atrophy. So, yeah, I love that point. I think, you know, Timmy, I really hope that you create some sort of pineapple art now based on this, because I don't think I'll ever be able to see you again without thinking of you as a pineapple.
I'm going to draw someone eating and drinking me as a pineapple.
Wow. There's some jokes there, and I don't know how, like, I don't know how deep I want to get into that on this kind of podcast, because I don't know if iTunes will rate jokes on podcasts. We'll just keep that. Well, on that note, thank you so much for being part of this. It means the world to me, all of the support that you put into this and encouraging me to do this. I can't wait to hang out in a few weeks.
Sure hope so. Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for having me.
That was episode 2 of Here by Design with Timmy Ham. Please check him out on imsloth.com. You can see all of the different products that he's doing, all the different activities, his blog posts that were referred to in the podcast. Follow him on social media. He's a super encouraging human, and I'm so grateful for that time. I hope you enjoyed episode 2. Looking forward to episode 3 next week, next Tuesday, same place, same time-ish. Don't even really have a time I'm doing this yet, but just Tuesday in general. And on that note, thank you so much for listening. I'm so grateful. Have an awesome week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.